Hi, and welcome to Mythology and Malarkey with me, Caleb Cruz. Believe it or not, this is a scripted introduction, and I typed that out just so I could properly convey to you how confused I am about writing an intro. But anyways, in this podcast, I'll be delving into different mythological stories, cultural significance of the stories, and all while I interject with my own thoughts as we go. This episode will be looking over the Greek myth of Prometheus and his theft of fire. It's one of the more recognizable stories out there, but I thought that'd make it great for a first episode. Okay, so, in order to fully understand the characters, their motives, their personalities of the story, I'm actually going to briefly go over the origin story of Greek mythology. So basically, at the start of it all, there were these creatures called Titans, massive man-like creatures. They were the supreme rulers of the earth. There were quite a few Titans, but the important ones here are going to be Cronus, the king of the Titans, and Prometheus, the main character of the story I'm about to go over later. As king of the Titans, Cronus was absolutely obsessed with his power. He would not want to give it up for anything. So when he heard of a prophecy that his children would overthrow him, he did the only natural thing anyone would do to prevent this from happening, and swallowed his children whole as they were born. Eventually, his wife, Rhea, was sick of Cronus swallowing every single one of her children. So she hid one of her new children, Zeus, in a cave and replaced him with a rock. When Cronus came in asking where his son was so he could eat them, Rhea pointed to the rock and he ate the rock, not noticing it wasn't a baby. Zeus was raised in secret, independently in a cave, until he came of age to declare war on his father. I'm going to assume that's about 18. That just seems like a good age to declare war on your dad. After winning this war, Zeus freed his siblings from Cronus' stomach. They emerged fully grown. So they were basically parasites. Prometheus was not banished with the rest of them because he was not directly involved in the war, and Zeus took pity on him. Tartarus was basically like if the Grand Canyon was a torture dungeon, this massive pit of pain and suffering. This marked the start of the Age of the Olympians, which is where our story will be taking place. Zeus being the king of the gods, and Prometheus being kind of like an unclear assistant type figure to Zeus. So, at the start of our story, it all begins with Zeus asking Prometheus to make man out of water and earth. That's the two main ingredients to make human beings. And Prometheus created man and became incredibly fond of them. He thought they were much more down to earth, he felt more comfortable around them, and just overall liked them better than the gods. Prometheus wanted to see what potential man had. So to unlock that potential, he decided to steal one of Zeus's favorite powers, fire, and gift it to man. Now, this was going to be a complicated task, because fire was heavily guarded, or supposedly complicated, but the way he chose to steal it was really quite simple. He decided all he would need was a distraction. While the goddesses were congregating in the courtyard of Mount Olympus, he threw a golden pear in with the message, "For the most beautiful goddess of all," written on the fruit. All of the goddesses started to fight over which one of them was the most beautiful, and therefore which one the fruit belonged to. Obviously, this catfight in the courtyard attracted the attention of every single god, and so they just all watched the ensuing chaos. During that fight, he stole the fire from Hephaestus' workshop, the god of fire, and he gave it to man as a gift inside of a hollowed pumpkin. So basically like a jack-o'-lantern with god fire instead of a candle. When Zeus learned of Prometheus' theft, he became furious. He had been defied by Prometheus many times before and was sick of dealing with the Titan. So as proper punishment for his crimes, he made Hephaestus, the one he stole fire from, chain Prometheus to a mountain. And on top of that, this mountain was inhabited by a single eagle that would eat Prometheus's liver every single day. As a Titan, his liver would regrow because they were immortal. The kind of conclusion to this story, it ends much later. A lot of time passes with Prometheus chained to that mountain, getting his liver eaten, the usual. Zeus's son Hercules eventually wanders upon Mount Caucasus, and he killed the eagle and freed Prometheus out of pity. Zeus was again furious when he heard about this, but eventually decided to give Prometheus his freedom again for reasons I don't particularly know. But Zeus still wanted the punishment to be reminded. He still wanted Prometheus to be reminded of his punishment forever. So he ordered him to make a steel ring from the chains that bound him to the mountain. And this is kind of where the Greeks got the idea that we should wear rings, because it was to celebrate Prometheus's gift to them. They believed that Prometheus's gift of fire is kind of what jump-started them and made them more advanced than the other animals, made them better than everyone else. Like, if they were still around to this day, they'd probably still believe that fire got us to where we are today. So the cultural impact of the story isn't actually that great in Greek culture itself. Prometheus became more of a figurehead in Western culture. He became a figurehead for human striving, the quest for scientific knowledge, the belief that we can ascend to something greater. All right, that just about wraps up everything for this episode. Today we talked about Prometheus and his gift of fire to man, the few cultural impacts the story actually had, mainly with Prometheus being a representation of human struggle. Next episode, I'll be going over some Egyptian myths that I have yet to pick out. But if you enjoyed this one, I'd highly recommend that you would watch the next one. And actually, if you've made it this far, you are contractually obligated to watch my next episode. It isn't a choice. You've sold your soul to me. So see you next time.